Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Naked Departure Talk Show. This show is live and interactive, and we invite the audience to join the discussion. You can call into the studio by clicking on the Skype button which appears on the show page, or by calling us on 1-914-205-5805. Alternatively, you can post your questions or comments in the chat room, which also appears on the show page. Thank you for tuning in. The management of Naked Departure Talk Show does not represent, endorse, or validate any views, opinions, products, or services promoted on this show.
Good afternoon. Today is Wednesday, September 21st. I think it's the last day of summer, 2016. With me in studio is Victor. Welcome into the studio, Victor.
Hey, Sherry. Thank you for inviting me for yet another half hour with you. Honored to be here.
You're so welcome. We wanted to touch on race relations. Do black lives matter? I know you think that black lives matter, Victor, but I happen to think that black people do not matter in the world. I happen to think that were there an adverse happening in the world, let's say there was a catastrophe, something, an apocalyptic event, I think black people will be enslaved again, and easily so, because there's no camaraderie, there's no love, there's no family. Hardly do you see that black people would screw you over. And I've worked with blacks, I've worked with whites, and I'm speaking from experience. And when you hear Black Lives Matter, is it a slogan? Is it something that black people do to get them through the day? Look what happened in Barbados recently with this Shannon Harris. She became a white person to represent a 95% population in Barbados at a beauty pageant coming up in America, wherever it's going to be held. And there was a outcry from Barbadians, and black Barbadians were surprised, white Barbadians are surprised that people are talking about it. It is almost as though to have an opinion that is different from yours or from a Barbadian's, it's almost as though it's unheard of. It should be for them in Barbados, those people that have such a fit. If a white girl represents a 95% population of black people, shut up and take it. And people are pretty much outraged that there is an outrage that some people are saying she won even before she started. You know, she was like money behind her. She had everything behind her. She's not the brightest person that could have been picked or selected or whatever it was, but she won. The white people are saying, allegedly, a white person is saying, do you expect us to come second? We are not going to come second. We are the ones who run things in Barbados. We are the ones who, we have the money. We put up the money for these kind of things. We are not going to come second to no N-I-G-G-E-R. So there's a backlash, there's talk in Barbados about this particular beauty queen, and as you would imagine, all the white people there are up in arms that there's even black people talking about a white person, and then they're the black ones that are surprised that black people are talking about this because they're so slanted. They don't think that their sisters and brothers should actually have a thought or have a say in anything, and if they do, it always comes over as though, oh, I'm so surprised that these people are saying this, or I'm so shocked by the remarks and the comments. Why be shocked? No, not everyone thinks the same. And look at what is happening here in America with black men. Black women, too, are being killed. You don't hear about Japanese? You're not hearing about the Jews? You're not hearing, but other white people, black people are being shot down like animals. Is there any doubt that black lives don't matter? I scheduled the show. I put Black Lives Matter because you, Victor, you asked for that heading. But for me, black lives do not matter. And if you ever, you're not a woman, but if you ever did it a West Indian, if you were to go back to Barbados and try to get with a black Bajan, or because this show deals with Bajans, you will see as a female how your life does not matter. Victor?
All right, where do we begin? Everything has to be taken, I believe, in context. Do I believe that black lives matter? Do I believe that the goings on in the world, some of it is appalling? I do. There's no doubt about it. I'm less rigid though on a white woman being Miss Universe Barbados than I am with the absolute social and emotional vagrancy that's existing in the United States in particular. But again, I mean, I want to speak truth to power, and I want to make sure that the slant is not a slant that's so rigid that truth is not spoken. As I see my own truth, as I own my own truth, I want to make sure that I speak and be corrected. I mean, I'm not perfect. I'm subject to being wrong, and when I'm wrong, call me for it. Call me out on the carpet. I believe that we spend a whole lot of time worried about stuff that we really shouldn't be worried about, and the things that we should be worried about, we are not worried about. We've got a lot of problems in black lives. When you have a 50 percentile of black people, black on black crime, as far as killings, homicides in the United States, when you got 50% homicides among black people in any community, there is a systemic problem that goes to the heart of why we feel the need to arbitrarily or otherwise kill each other. That's the first thing. The second thing is, everybody's up in arms because two people got killed in America. Last night, today. The next time that it happens, you're going to have people up in arms again about the same issue, the same slogans, and no action whatsoever relative to harnessing the power that's necessary to protect ourselves from what happens in our communities, our so-called communities across America. If people are so mad about a black woman winning Miss Universe Barbados, protest it. Have your own pageants independent of a system where white people can claim, as I've read, that it is their dollars that made an event like Miss Universe Barbados possible in the first place. Create your own and stop complaining, stop belly aching. I mean, how much time are we going to spend giving, you know, oxygen to issues that really are relatively insignificant on a wide expanse of thinking, social landscape? 100 years from now, the fact that this woman was Miss Black Barbados, Miss Universe Barbados, relatively insignificant. Of more significance, though, is the fact that the social landscape of black people in this world has never been as bad a place as it is right now. If you look at the consequences of a single black male or female, typically younger than age 30, being summarily executed in the streets of America by their own or by police vigilantes, or by not following the instructions of police officers in this America, is tragic. It's tragic. Everything else pales in comparison to that. The United States government can place an endangered species moniker on elephants, on lions, on tigers, but no endangered species moniker is placed on young black people in this country. And to that end, I am puzzled at the fact that, for the most part, even if you do the right thing in America, like raise your hands in the air like you've been ordered to, which offers that you have no weapon, that's easily revealable to police officers, you walk towards them as they have instructed, or you go to your, you are executed. So America needs to make up its damn mind. I know, based on history, that oftentimes we are not African Americans, we are Africans in America. Big difference. And our journey out of Africa, a black man's journey, or a black person's journey to America, has afforded us to be in a position or a place that's behind enemy lines. It has offered us very little at all in order of protection of ourselves and our families. Imagine being a male or female living in America, and you have very little protection at all, even from the people who are supposed to protect you. You have very little protection. So at the end of the day, how do we get to a position where we are not marginalized by a system, a police state that marginalizes black people and forces them into a situation where they go to body bag, as opposed to being able to realize the lowest level of commonality relative to human existence, the ability to breathe and sustain life and able to live in a world such as this? How do we do that? Where do we get to that position in American society? We've had the 13th, 14th, 15th Amendments to the Constitution in this country. We've had those things which have given black people civil rights long before 1964.
Come on now, you're slipping.
Long before Brown versus the Board of Education.
Yeah, but Victor, when you said that gave black people civil rights, what other people were given the right to exist? What other people were given that right to be human?
Your argument offers at best a tenuous argument at best. Here's why. No other people live in North America. No other people live in a country that is as barren, as cold, as this was a geographical and social wasteland before the so-called founders founded it.
Okay,
and
so much more so that we should not have had to have fought for civil rights. If it was so barren and it was so desolate that no one really wanted to be in that particular area because of the location, you would think that they would have embraced the people that were there and, you know, assimilated and lived together.
There's not one place on the planet Earth where a white man has been, where he has set his foot, not even the moon, where the white man has been, where there has been peace, Sherry. You know that. Every place the white man has been, where there are people of color, right? Melanated people, it's been white on top, black on the bottom, period.
You're asking why, and I hope that you give a couple suggestions as to why, because in my mind, you cannot do it to people who are organized. You can only do it to people who do not understand themselves, who do not like themselves, who do not love themselves, who do not like their mothers, who do not like their sisters, they don't like their skin, they don't like... You can only do that...
Flawed argument, both historically and intellectually. I'll tell you why. You're not meaning to tell me, of course, that the Japanese or the Chinese or the Indians or certain tribes in Africa are not organized. No, not for 1 minute. Could you tell me that? And still, wherever the white man has been, the impact of him being there, his presence in that specific geographical area, Australia with the Aborigines, has forever changed the order of business in that specific geographical space. So I'm here to tell you that wherever the white man has been, wherever he has set his foot, the greatest predator on earth, period, has been the white man. It's been the white man because the white man has controlled from a geographical, geopolitical, geoeconomical spectrum. He has controlled everything.
Okay, you will say that, and then on another note or in another conversation, you, Victor, will say, oh, it was the black people that taught them to wipe their asses. It was the black people that taught them how to discard garbage and to bury their shit and not to...
Of course. And we know that antiquity... We know that from African, that the great orders of African civilization, that African antiquity offered to the world. And from that end, I, you're right. I will tell you that. They learned from us. They learned from us because we were a giving people, because we were a caring people.
We were foolish.
But also, they offered to us treachery. You must agree. If you understand the contributions of African civilization, the orders of African civilization from Timbuktu to Kemet, which is now modern-day Egypt, if you understood those contributions, you would understand that is why our civilization, the antiquity of Africa, black Africa, was changed, you know, changed very, very much, Sherry. You have to understand that. You understand? So we trusted a people who came to us, right? Who came to us, we thought as friends, but it turned out that they were invaders.
That's a lie.
They were. Say again?
That's a lie. Because black people were fierce. The black people were fierce. Black people were very cold-hearted. Black people were fuckers. All the while, we've heard of the Moors, and they tried to civilize and clean up and sanitize their history, you know, the Moors. But the Moors, they say, were a bunch of motherfuckers to themselves, and they used to sell their own black people out.
But you have to look again.
I do not believe a lot of history, and I look at what is happening now, because what is happening now directly tells me about the past. If I am to read history and you were to read one book and I read another book, we could come away with different versions of everything. That's just life and how you want to spin it, or how you want to take it according to what you've lived and your travels. We all come out with certain thoughts and certain discourse and certain narratives on certain things. And I do believe that black people were tricked. I don't believe that they were too nice. I don't believe that they were this or that. If you were bright enough to have created the big tombs that you see all over the world that look like, they actually look like monoliths, they actually look like like spaceships. If we were great enough to do the pyramids, as they said, that it had to be black people, if we were so bright to be teaching white people, you think you'd be going to turn around and let those same white people fool us? You know, something happened, and there are a lot of missing links to history, as we know, and people spin things to suit themselves in history, as we know. But I think that black people, the way we see them now, is a reflection of how they were then, but they were outsmarted.
Okay, but listen to this argument from me. You said that you don't believe in history, right? So history is you and history is me. The fundamentals of who we are start from a historical narrative. So if you say that you don't believe in
okay.
history, then...
Okay, let me put it another way then, Victor, because I know you could say something. I'm on the show. I do not make notes. We both not make notes. We just come on and we just talk. So let me say in a different way. I believe that history as written can be falsified. That's what I believe. I believe anything that can be written can be falsified. And I'm living now, we look at Russia and we look at different areas, and they want bad thing that they're writing into history about themselves. We know that if Russia or Germany or one of those other big countries did something that was, if you can look at it and say, you know what, that was not too cool. That's not part of their history. When you look at their history and what their people recite, it's not, we may have it in our history here in America or in another book written and somewhere else, but I can guarantee you that you do not go into Russia and go into their libraries and read no shit about them. They don't write that kind of shit about themselves. And even as we hear things happening in Africa right now, and I speak to people in Africa, they say, that's not what's happening. That's not how it's written here. You may be talking that way in America about it, but when we talk about it, it's quite different. So there's something called propaganda, and there's something called, you know, people falsify records. So that's what I'm saying. When I say I do not believe history, I'm saying that I believe that a lot of things are falsified, and everyone is going to do what it should do to make themselves look good in the history books.
So how does that then impact what's going on with black lives and how black lives matter?
I don't believe that black people ever were as cohesive as they say they were throughout history. When they talk about kings and queens, that kind of bullshit, you know, kings and queens usually like concubines, and they usually like to have slaves. So if we are, and then someone would say, oh, it was not that type of kings and queens, it was elders, and it was this, and it was that, and they tried to use euphemisms and other words. You know, if you're saying that you came from kings and queens, when we look now at what a king and a queen is, they like to have slaves, or you call them commoners, and people, they don't work, they collect welfare, and people work and support them. They live on the hill, and the commoners live, and the shit runs down the commoners' head. That's what we see from kings and queens. So when you hear the history that black people say, oh, we came from kings and queens, that's what you look at, what a king and a queen is. That's what you look at. You want people to bow down to you. And from looking at what it is now, I don't know if you deal with Nigerians. I don't know if you deal with anyone in Africa, but it's always a problem. They're always trying to rip you off. I don't know if you've been back to Barbados or any of the islands recently, but there are a bunch of MFs that have that skin color and have that mindset, and you have to look at what is and say, well, that is the DNA of that particular person. Now, if you look at white people, they have their own DNA, and they're doing what they're doing to stay on top. But for me, when I see it, if the white people are on top and we are saying they came from the Caucasus Mountains and there were lepers and this and that, everyone have their own narrative to justify where they are. But what we see now is black people are enslaved. If something were to happen catastrophic in the world, and there were to be not even a world war, let's say it's worse than a world war, black people will be enslaved. We will rebuild. We will be put back in chains, and we will be rebuilding the world if something really bad were to happen. And that's what I see it. That's my narrative as regards to black people, as in regards to dealing with black people and or not dealing with them. Not dealing with black people at this stage of the game, because you know what's gonna, you know you're gonna get ripped off. You just know it. You're not gonna meet a black man. I don't know. You have to speak from a black woman's perspective. You're not gonna meet a black man that you don't have to put gas in his car. They're not gonna be begging you to borrow money. And even if they have good positions, there's always that nigger there. And that's my story.
Okay, so that's painting with a broad brush. I would like to say that I take offense to that as a black man talking to you on this show right now. But I know that you didn't mean that comment for me.
No.
You painted with a broad brush. And I don't feel that way about most black women. And I don't feel that way about most black men. Because in order for me to feel that way about most black men and most black women, in the entirety of things, That's to leave myself in a chasm that's really hopeless. So I can't be hopeless because I've got a son, I've got nephews, I've got nieces, I've got friends, I've got people that I have.
Of course, and hopefully you've never cheated on your black queen, and hopefully the men in your family have never cheated on their black queens, and hopefully they're all married and home and have their wives and have a family. So you cannot relate to what I'm saying, but I'm saying from what I have seen, I have seen the fracture, and I have seen men begging women, using women, black men using women, and putting them in the very, very
white men don't do that, right?
I'm not saying that. They have let the white woman come on the show and talk about that. I'm talking from a black perspective. Let's invite the white woman on.
I'm not suggesting that the white woman should come on the show and do that. I am suggesting though that with your experiences that you would say some black men.
I'm not saying all. I have never met all black men in my life. In fact, I try not to even get too close to black men. But the few that I have known have been catastrophic for me.
And that's unfortunate. I hate it for you. I empathize with you 100%. If that's your reality, if that's your perception, that's your reality. But I can't say this. All right? Each one teach one, each one reach one. It's up to us to go out there with a message. And that message needs to be consistent with reaching down, pulling people up, making a situation so that we can affect some positive change in the world, and more especially in the place where we were born, in Barbados. There are things in Barbados, like anywhere else, that's pretty messed up. And I'm living in a country that's no position, morally or otherwise, to criticize nowhere else. I live in the United States. And I'll be damned if I hear someone living in America talk about, well, Barbados is this or Barbados is that, in comparison to what? Barbados has its problems. I don't agree with a lot of things the government is doing right now. I don't agree with a lot of things that's going on socially right now. But I live in the United States. How hypocritical of me would it be to put the United States in some moral position of authority over a country like
that? Who was doing that? That has not happened on this show. That has not happened. We all know. No. We all know, Victor, that this show focuses on Barbados. And today we were going to use what is happening with black men in America. Most of them are the jails are populated with black people. We know these things, and we were going to pull that in. But no one is saying that America or anywhere else is better than anything else. All I'm saying is black people need to get their lives together, and black people, as I see it, don't matter in the whole scheme of things if they're shooting you down the way they are.
Why are you gonna
Unfortunately, we've come to the end of this episode of Naked Departure Talk Show. If you would like to appear as a guest on the show, simply email our producer at nakeddeparture@gmail.com or message us directly from the show page. We would love to have you as a guest on the show. You can listen to a repeat of this episode at any time in the future. Simply go to our show page at blogtalkradio.com/nakeddeparture and follow the links. I would like to thank our guests, the discussion panel, and the production team. I would also like to thank the listeners for tuning in and giving us an audience. We will now leave you with the sweet jazzy sounds of Trade Wind by Alan Trotman and Jonathan Butler.